Our scripture lesson this morning is Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10, found on page 663 in the Old Testament of the Blue Bibles on the rack underneath of our chairs. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the cactus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up upon it. They shall not be there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of our Lord.
I don't know if you've noticed the Advent candles, when they're lit, they burn bright, and then it's like, I wonder, I was like, man, are they going to make it? They kind of go dim, and then they go strong again, and I was just thinking, surely there's a sermon in there somewhere in that, so I'll leave you to meditate upon that. Here we go. So when I was in seminary, I had a friend and I, we were on a hiking trip, a backpacking trip, and we had hiked hard for a couple of days, and we had one more day, one more short hike to go, and we had found this camping spot here at the end of our second day, and it was late in the afternoon, and we saw this sign that said, Scenic Vista, 3 miles, and we thought, both thought, I just don't have 3 miles there and back in me anymore. We're tired. And so we set up camp, and I thought, you know, that Scenic Vista could be the Grand Canyon, but I'm not going to hike that today here. I'm tired. And so I'm lying in the tent, and I brought a book along from school, and I was reading it. And my friend was just kind of restless, and he was nosing around a little bit, and so I'm in the tent and just reading it, and I hear my friend scurrying back, and he says, put down your book, you've got to come see this, come on, come on. And so we realized later, we went back and found the sign, that the sign actually said Scenic Vista 0.3 miles, not three. And so 0.3 miles up the trail was the view up there, this extraordinary view. But I remember my friend, you know, just running back saying, come on, come on, you got to see this. You know, this thing is right there. Put down your book. You got to see that. Stop what you're doing, because this thing is right here. It almost sounds like the verse of, or sounds like the voice of Isaiah 35. We hear a similar kind of voice in Isaiah 35, the announcement of a party. The voice is saying, come on, come on, this thing is happening. Get ready. It's almost here. Now, the third Sunday of Advent is the Pink Candle Sunday. What we're anticipating, Christmas and the joy of what God is to do, the joy of it creeps in. We're in this time of expectation, and the joy of it is like it's almost here, it's there, and so the joy of it comes. And so here on this third Sunday of Advent, we hear these words from Isaiah announcing a party. But this party that Isaiah announces is kind of different because it happens in the desert. Now, I'm a weirdo, and I love the desert. A lot of people don't have that kind of love for deserted lands, but I love the desert. But if you go in my office, I've got some cactus decorations and things, and I have this weird connection with the desert. But the thing is, I was thinking about the times I visited the desert, it's with the benefit of modern conveniences, you know, places to stay with air conditioning and running water and doors that keep out snakes and scorpions and those kind of things. And if you didn't have those things, the desert would be a very harsh place to get by. Everything in the desert is prickly. Every plant has these spines to protect itself. Sometimes you see these saguaro cactus that they look like they're trying to give a hug. The arms, you know, look like they're extended in a hug. But the thing is, that it's the last thing you would want to hug because that would be a painful experience. And one time I was in Arizona and I was hiking up this hill to get to this place where there was this view, and I was climbing up these rocks and things, and I stepped and I just let out this huge ouch. And what had happened was a cactus spine had fallen from a cactus and was pointing up, and I'd stepped on it and went through my shoe and poked me in the bottom of my foot. And everything out there is like that. It's harsh and prickly, and it's that way because it has to survive. The things that live out there are not cute, cuddly things, but they're rough. Coyotes, rattlesnakes. We had a retreat I go to. We had a party on our last night, and this woman that was part of the retreat came in 30 minutes late, and she's huffing and puffing, and she said there was a pack of javelinas outside her room, and javelinas are these things that look like pigs, but they're not pigs, but they're kind of rough things you don't want to get up close and personal with. And she said, they're outside my door. I couldn't come here. And well, anything that survives in the desert just has to be tough just to get by. The sun doesn't quit there. I mean, for us, we wish for a sunny day, like especially on a day like today. But there, it's sometimes you wish for cloudy days because the sun is unrelenting. It shines and shines and shines. It's hot. It's dry. You're looking for relief, but it's hard to find. It's just you're in the desert. Now, the desert is sometimes used as sort of a metaphor in the Bible for a place of spiritual dryness. And think about it. Imagine it. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the desert wasteland. Jesus, as he begins his ministry, goes for a time of fasting out into the desert. John the Baptist preaches from the desert wilderness. Psalm 107 describes the predicament real well. It says, some of the redeemed had wandered into the desert, into the wasteland. They couldn't find their way to a city or town. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives are slipping away. So they cried out to the Lord in their distress. Now, you might not have ever physically experienced a desert landscape, but I have a feeling all of you know a little bit about living in the spiritual desert. The desert is the place where spiritual life is hard, where nourishment isn't easy to find, where there's not much spiritual relief, where your spirit is parched, where you live in fear of what lurks out there, when you're not really sure where God is or what God is doing in your life, or if God even cares, you're in the desert. I've had so many people come up to me through the years, and they'll say something like this. They'll say something along these lines. They'll say, I get up and I go to work, but there's no joy there. I worry about making ends meet. Nothing seems to be going right in my life. The bills are overdue. My family is a mess. I pray, but it seems like no one's on the other end of the line of my prayers. I drag myself to church, but most of the time I don't know why. I wonder what God is doing or if God cares or why I even bother. I find most human beings, if they walk the spiritual path, they come to places like that occasionally. Well, sisters and brothers, that's the desert. That's living in a biblical desert. When you're stuck in life and you don't know what to do, you're in the desert. When you feel like you've been going and going, but you don't feel like you can keep going anymore, you're in the desert. When you're spiritually lost, You're in the desert. When you feel like there's no relief in sight, you're in the desert. When you feel like you're doing the right thing, but everything is going wrong, you're in the desert. When you feel like you could drink a gallon of spiritual Gatorade, but it's now nowhere to be found, you're in the desert. When you see everything around you, especially in this season, proclaiming joy and happiness and all of the stuff of this season, and you hear it's the most wonderful time of the year, but yet you think, why am I so miserable in my heart? You're in the desert. Well, here Isaiah is telling us, for those who walk in the desert, get ready for a party in the desert. Isaiah 35, it's like this oasis, in the middle of the desert. It cuts right in. It says, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall bloom abundantly. Now, if you've been in the desert, you know that cactus and things will bloom occasionally here and there, but it's not an English garden in full bloom. But the image that we're given here in Isaiah is almost like the desert turned into this blossoming botanical garden. It says, it's talking about flowers and things growing up in the desert. What was cactus and dry rocks and prickly things, it's blooming flowers, it's abundant greenery. And it doesn't stop there. It says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. Imagine a person in a wheelchair getting up and leaping like a deer. The tongues of the speechless shall sing for joy. And then it goes on, it says, waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The desert place, as Isaiah describes it, becomes a place of flowing waters, the haunt of jackals, it says, becomes a swamp all of a sudden. I mean, it's a complete change of situation, what Isaiah is describing. What was desert becomes a place of life. What Isaiah is saying is God is going to take this desert place and make it a place where nourishment and life can be found, where water and life and restoration are present. Isaiah is saying, even in the midst of the desert, God is going to bring life. Well, sisters and brothers, if you have been in the desert, if you've been in a place where life is hard to find, if you've been in a place where your spiritual landscape is hot and dry and deserted, Isaiah is coming and telling us a secret, almost like my friend coming and getting me out of that tent to tell me of something good that's happening. Isaiah is telling us God is the one who brings life even while you're in the desert. God is the one who brings streams of water in the desert. God is the one who is with you in the desert. Relief is not far. Isaiah is telling us God is doing something. You see, sisters and brothers, this is the message of Advent, that God is doing something. And you might not see it at the moment. It might not be apparent, but God is not done. God has something in the works. And you might not see it. You might not feel it. What may in your life may feel like desert and no rain at the moment, but it's coming. It's coming. Isaiah tells us God is making a highway. Now, if you've seen a road constructed, you know it's a big deal to make a good road. You don't just throw down some rocks and knock down a tree or two and you've got a good highway. No, it takes layers of work and lots of preparation and all of that. Isaiah is telling us in the midst of the blooming wilderness, God is doing that, building a road. Isaiah goes on to say, a highway shall be there. It's going to be called the Holy Way. It's almost like Route 1, Holy Way, destination, God's life. And Isaiah tells us this highway is for God's people. And he says, no traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. You know, we've all got that friend that gets lost just walking down the block. You got that friend, don't you? We've got a confession there. Yeah. Well, it says, no one will get lost upon this way. No lion or ravenous beast will come upon it. You've got nothing to fear upon this road through the desert. Isaiah tells us the ransomed of the Lord will be there. God is going to bring God's people home along this highway. Isaiah goes on to say, everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sisters and brothers, if you find yourself in the desert, if you find yourself in that place of spiritual dryness and desertedness, If you find yourself living in that desert, Isaiah's telling us, get ready. The desert is going to bloom. God is going to build a road to God's future even in the midst of that desert. And so if you find yourself looking for life in the desert, Isaiah is telling us, get ready. Look and see. God is going to make that place a place of life with a road on it to better things. So if you find yourself in the desert, sisters and brothers, put on some shoes because you've got some walking to do. You're going to need those shoes to walk on the way to God's life. And Isaiah tells us there may even be dancing along the way. God is the one who makes the desert a place of life. God is the one who brings water even in the desert. God is the one who even now is planning to build a road through that desert that you're going down, and you will travel that road with joy. See, this is the focus of the season. The season is not just about getting cards and presents and parties and all of that, and all those things are fine for what they are. This season, this Advent season, is about getting ready for the joy that God is doing ultimately. The season is about getting ready for the joy that God is going to bring in the desert of this world. The season is about getting ready to see the life that God is going to bring, even when it seems like life is in short supply. The season is about focusing our hearts on what God is yet to do, because it's going to be really good and we want to be a part of it. Because we look at this moment we're in and we celebrate that in a couple of weeks, we will celebrate that God entered this world. God spoke into our lives and our world in and through Jesus Christ to lead us out of the desert of this life. That's what God is doing, sisters and brothers. That's what's happening. So if you think you are in the desert today, and if you're not, you've probably been there, or you will be eventually, get ready. God is planning a party in the desert. Amen.